Thank you for that reading of the scripture this morning in an engaging way. It's good to be here this morning. It gives me joy to be gathered in this place with each one of you. Each time I enter the back and go up the steps in the foyer, I see these beautiful words, "You are known and loved by God." And sometimes I just want to stand there in silence and just kind of let that soak in, almost as the beginning part of worship. You are known and loved by God. But one of the things I've noticed that I do is that I focus on the word loved, and I just kind of roll right over the word known. And so this morning, I'm going to reflect a little bit on that word known and the phrase, "You are known by God." In one of our evening walks in downtown Lancaster, Judy and I were at King and Queen Street, and we were walking west on King Street on the south side, and we saw a parked car in the left lane on King Street. The light turned green, and all of the cars in front of that parked car moved forward and went through the light. But everybody behind that parked car was stopped, stuck in traffic. And we thought to ourselves, why would anyone ever dare to just park their car right on downtown Lancaster on King Street? From a distance, it looked like there was no one in the car, like it was empty. But as we got a little bit closer, we saw that there was a driver in the driver's seat and there was a passenger in the front passenger seat, and both of them were slouched forward with their heads hanging down. We thought, what in the world is going on? Horns began to blow. Drivers became impatient. We wondered, were they okay in the car? Were they sleeping? Were they alive? And a small crowd began to gather around us, and our imaginations began to go wild. Was it a shooting? Should we call 911? And then an interesting thing happened. Three youth walk by. They cross the street. They run up to the car. They pound on the windows. And the mystery was solved. At the corner of King and Queen, while waiting for the light to turn green, an exhausted driver and front seat passenger must have fallen asleep, and they wake up with a start. I learned something that day. How easy it is to stand at a distance and make wrong assumptions. It took courage to be those three youth who would not stand at a distance and let their imagination run wild, but instead immediately, without thinking, just ran right up to the car, pounded on the windows. In our scripture story this morning, Nathanael stood at a distance. Philip finds him sitting under a fig tree. Maybe he was sleeping, like the driver and passenger in that car. Nathanael, wake up! We found him, the Messiah. He's from Nazareth. And from a distance, Nathanael accepted the cultural prejudices of that day against Nazareth. What are you talking about, Philip? How can anything good come from Nazareth? Kind of like Judy and I standing at a distance on King Street, watching, assuming, imagining, asleep in our make-believe world of best guesses, assumptions, and prejudice. Perhaps we were the ones who the youth should have come running up to and waken us up. Come on, Nathanael, Philip urges. Come and see for yourself. So Nathanael agrees. They go, they meet Jesus, and Jesus says to Nathanael, "Now here is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And Nathanael is now wide awake. "How do you know who I am?" "I saw you while you were still sitting under a fig tree." Nathanael is confused. I came to see, not to be seen. I came to know, not to be known. There's a big difference between being the knower and being the one known. If you are the knower, you are in control of what you want the other to look like. We can do this for God, or we can do it for other people with our imagination, our assumptions, our prejudices. We paint a picture. We make God or others to be what we want them to be or need them to be in that particular moment. I've been thinking a lot about this since I started doing this, and it's surprising how often I do this. It's embarrassing. I want to come close, but not too close. Like Nathaniel, I want to sit under one of my fig trees in the backyard and watch the CMCL parking lot and activities going on at a distance. Or like Zacchaeus, I want to get as close as possible to get the best view, the front row seat, and yet I want to remain invisible up in the tree, hidden. I want to first check out the situation from a distance, and if it is safe, then I will come close. And Jesus, over and over again, flips everything upside down, constantly coming close. Whether it is safe or not, he engages in conversation, he asks questions, he makes observations. When I stand at a distance, the best I have to offer are my assumptions, my expectations, my prejudice. It reminds me of when I was about 10 years old. I was at Mailman's department store. That dates me. In the old manor, or in the manor shopping center. So we were Christmas shopping, and I was with my mother and two younger siblings. And I remember walking out the door. We were walking down the sidewalk, and my two younger siblings were small, so they were walking beside my mother. And I was lagging along behind, maybe 10 feet behind, because I was too big to need my mother and walk beside her. Suddenly, an arm grabbed my shoulder, twisted me around, and I looked up, and here is this, to me, scary, mean face looking down at me and saying, "You come with me." Suddenly, my grown-up confident self just vanished, and I screamed, "Mommy, help!" And she turned, and in terror, I can't imagine how traumatized she was, she comes running to my rescue, and the man explains that I need to come back into the store. And so he keeps holding onto my arm, yanking me forward, taking me into the store. My mother and my two younger siblings follow. And in the front of the store, in the busy Christmas season, in front of all of the lines of people waiting to check out at the cash registers, he accuses me of shoplifting. And he says, "Show me what's in your pockets." I was wearing a big, heavy coat, so I started searching through my pockets. And in my one pocket, I found a pencil. And I thought, oh no, he's going to accuse me of stealing this pencil. And I took it out, and fortunately, it was very well worn and old, and so there was no way that he was going to accuse me. And that's the only thing I could find. And I told him that, and he said, "You're lying. Give me your coat." So I took my coat off, and he searched my pockets and couldn't find anything in the coat. And then he insisted on searching my pants pockets and still did not find anything. The security guard assumed I was a thief because I walked out of the store with my arms folded and a big heavy coat, looking like I had taken something. And you can believe I don't do that anymore. You'll rarely, if ever, see me like this. From a distance, he made that false assumption. And then the only way he could prove that I was a thief that he made me out to be was to come close and to grab me. When Jesus came close, he never grabbed, he never yanked, He never forced anyone. He always came close in kind, peaceful ways that healed, that loved, that gave life. When we remain at a distance, we misunderstand, we misread, we call each other names, we make up lies, we argue, we fight, we turn innocent people into the horrible people that we have falsely accused them to be, and then we do whatever it takes to make them fit the lies that we have created about them. I find that I also do this with God. In the role of knower, I construct an image of what I think God should look like and act like. And then when God doesn't fit my image, I either try to force God to fit my image, my expectations, or I get angry at God and break up with God. That's why I find it so freeing to move from being the knower to the one known, from being the one in control of trying to figure out who God is, to just coming and realizing that God knows me, fully knows me. I no longer need to know and figure everything out about God. Like Philip, like Nathaniel, when I am known by God, a new self is born. The self that God knows, the self that God sees, the self that God created. So I was trying to think of a photo or a picture for the front of the bulletin that would describe this joy and wonder of being known. And I was looking through my photos and came across this photo that I took a couple months ago. And as soon as I saw that Lenten rose, especially in the top left corner, I said, that's it. To me, that just expresses the fullness, the wonder, the joy, and the hope of just coming before God and being known, being fully known who I am as I am. And as I continue to look at it, the other Lenten roses and even the leaves express that wonder of being known. I experience this wonder sometimes when I journal. When I journal, I often write to God or write about God. It's often a conversation between God and me. And when I pour out my frustrations, my questions, my complaints, my requests to God, it's like taking this deep breath in and then letting it all out. And then the next breath that I'm taking in is this wonder of being known and loved by God. I also experience this wonder when I am in nature, surrounded by so many things that are so fully alive. The birds, the plants, the trees. That first song we sang this morning about the tree was wow. The animals, the insects, the sunshine, the breeze, the rhythms of nature all around me. I see all of this, all of the life, all the fullness of life around me, and I'm filled with this deep sense of wonder that I am one with everything else that is alive, and all together we are known and we are loved by God. I also experience this wonder here at CMCL. It's not just the joy and wonder of being known and loved by God. It's the joy and wonder of being known and loved by one another. It's being part of a community where we don't need to stand at a distance, a safe community where we can come close, to know and be known, to trust and be trusted, to love and be loved by God and by each other. We become like these beautiful Lenten roses and discover the joy of being known by one another. For Judy's birthday, our children and grandchildren wrote down words on our toy blocks that we've had since our children were born. And I got them out and invited everybody to write down words that described Judy. And now we're playing with those toy blocks, building things, and we want to continue to do that. And it becomes a joyful, fun play. But it's interesting, as I look at those words, how many of those words, and I was going to bring them along this morning, but I'm not sure I could have built them on here without them falling down. And we've been looking at those words, and it's amazing how many of those words fit are the same words that I use to describe God. And it hit me, when I come close to Judy, and I'm known by Judy, or I discover Judy, I discover God. And the closer that I come to Judy, the closer I come to God. And the same thing is true here at CMCL. The closer we come to one another, the closer we come to God. It's fun, it's playful, it's full of wonder to be known and to be loved by God. Thanks be to our loving God who knows us fully. Amen.